Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Rayla Sunny Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie. Joining me, as per usual, is Rompas. Patrick is nowhere to be found.
As usual.
As per usual, too. We'll have him back. We're nearing 100 episodes, so somehow, some way, we're going to have to drag him because I've talked with him. He doesn't have enough time to watch the games. And he doesn't want to look,
Can he look worse than the one time he said Montes long balls?
Well, he doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to talk about a game he hasn't watched in full. Like, he doesn't want to watch the highlights. So he doesn't want to look like, he wants to sound like he's giving people good information. But yeah, we're nearing 100 episodes, and we're gonna hunt him down and we're gonna drag him in. Rompas, I'm here with you because there was some history made on Saturday over the weekend. We're going to get into that. This podcast is mostly going to be Rogelio Funes Mori, but obviously we got to talk about the two matches that took place. We're going to try to just jam in as much as we can in 10, 15 minutes, and then the rest just talk about Funes Mori and his legacy, because obviously if you follow everything on social media, it looks like the team is doing a lot of build-up for celebrations, because he's doing a lot of media days and social media. He's talking with Chupete Suazo, and so, you know, the club has something planned for him, so we're going to try to do our best to do that, too. But let's talk about the first match. Cruz Azul last week in the CCL. What did you make of that game? Because to me, it seemed like it was a typical Monterrey game where they're generating a lot of chances, but of course they're not putting them in the back of the net. 1-0, obviously they won, but I don't think it should have been that close. To me, they should have won 2-0, 3-0. But obviously, you know, it is what it is. But what did you make of that performance? What were some things that stood out to you in that game against Cruz Azul? I know it's been a couple of days, and there's been a game in the middle of that. But from what you can recall, what were some things that stood out to you in that game against Cruz Azul?
It was the best game, the best Rayados game in the Aguirre's tenure, by far. Because not only, as you said, we lack the definition portion of the game, but that's becoming something usual. So, all right. What stood out the most to me, it was the fact that Cruz Azul did absolutely nothing offensive-wise to Monterrey. It was just the first, I'm going to try to recall my best, the first 30 minutes, I think, it was just one-sided.
It was just Monterrey Cruz Azul was just pinned back, like they were bad. Yeah. Like those first 20 to 30 minutes, they did not do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. As you said, it was just Monterrey going and Cruz Azul. It was like, it kind of looked weird because it is Cruz Azul, the reigning champion of the Liga MX, and they had a lot of the players they were missing a few weeks back. But one thing that kind of like gave me a little bit of hope when it comes to the definition part, it was that Corona wasn't going to be there. And Corona always does the same thing against Monterrey. Always he just does these saves, like crazy saves. Like, I remember one for Nico Sanchez back in, I don't know, 2 years ago in the Azteca Stadium. Like, crazy save. So when he got injured a month back, I think, I was like, all right, so they are not going to have a goalkeeper. And then this guy, out of nowhere, he became the man of the match. He saved at least two clear chances, one to Funes Mori.
Yeah. It was the header one. I think I remember that one. That was like the header one that it was going to go in, and somehow, you know, he had enough like length and, you know, to stop it and knock it out. But yeah, he knocked out a couple of chances where it's like, damn, that should have ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah. But at the same time, like I was saying, that doesn't surprise me. That is just typical Monterey game where you have a lot of scoring chances and you just don't score, right? What stood out the most to me, as I said before, it was the fact that Cruz Azul, in the entire game, I'm not even talking about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, the 90 plus minutes, they didn't have one clear chance, not one. And that speaks volumes because it is Cruz Azul and they do have good or great players. So to see Medina having the command of the I'm gonna open a parenthesis here. I'm really glad he's the captain now, because if someone needs to be the captain of this team, it's him.
I'll touch on that right now, because I remember you touched on it in a space, I think, on Saturday. And I was going to get to that part, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that, because I want you to get your thoughts on that, because he was also on a show on Sunday, and yeah. I want to get to that. But one thing I want to touch on, and what for you, what did it mean to, like, have Montes and Charlie Rodriguez right in the lineup right away? Like, I think they came back to Monterrey, I think it was a Monday yep. night, or I think it was Monday night. Maybe they got a training session in on a Tuesday, and then it's boom in the starting 11, and then against Cruz Azul. Like it wasn't an MLS yeah. opponent. It wasn't a lower team in Liga MX. No, it's the reigning champions, semifinals for you. And they played well. They played great. Like Charlie Rodriguez, it was his best game since that game yes. against Juarez. But that was against Juarez, so I'm like, okay, yeah, but I think to me that's his best game in like a year and a half. Like, mm-hmm, considering the opponent and the situation, to me, since pretty much that Liverpool game, like it's been his best game, you know, considering what was at stake for me, and he delivered. Cesar Montes, the dude wants to go to Europe. If he puts in performances like that, he should be having, you know, teams lining up. You know, for the winter transfer window. But what did you make of that really quickly?
Well, first, I think that it says a lot about the guys that were here. They have two guys, like, just getting here, not even having two training sessions, well, training days, the sessions they were two. To have them start, it's just a way for Aguirre to say, well, the guys that I have here are not that good, right? So, but I mean, it's kind of understandable because it is Montes and Charlie. Charlie, even though with Monterrey, he hasn't had a good, well, it's almost 2 years now, but in the Olympic Games, he excelled. And Montes obviously did too. So, it was kind of logical for Aguirre to have him on the pitch, but I didn't think that he was going to be like starting. I thought that maybe the game got complicated when Dan sent Montes in or Charlie, if you wanna rest somebody. So it kind of took me by surprise, but at the same time, understandable to have them both going in because of what you just said. The stage was really important, so you have to have those type of players in the field.
Mm-hmm. Another part, Maxi Mesa, obviously I want to touch on just a little bit because there's also what I want to discuss a little bit further detail when it comes to the Pachuca game. But what did you make of his performance against Cruz Azul? Because obviously he scored the long goal in the game. Dime pass. And I just coming back to my memory now, it was a great pass from Charlie Rodriguez that right on the money. Head, you know, all Maxi just needed to do was just brush it a little bit to redirect it, and boom, 1-0. But what did you make of his performance?
Well, Maxi's just keep on being Maxi. He has been the best player for at least a year for Rayados offensively, obviously. But that game, not only that game, but specifically in that game, He was the one that showed the different, well, makes the difference, to be more precise. And it's always good when Maximus scores, not because I'm like Maximus or whatever, but because when Maxi scores, Monterrey hasn't lost. So it's just a good time. He was among the level of Charlie and Medina and Montes, if I'm not mistaken. They were the four guys that kind of, well, Celso Ortiz, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The guys that, like, were on another level. But Maxi, I really like that he keeps on this rising that it doesn't seem to stop. So it's just good for the team, because there's a lot of players that get a few games, a few good games, and then they just kind of take it for granted. Like, I'm always going to be like that. But this guy is just, and again, when we touch on Pachuca's game, he excelled again. So it's great. I just hope that this momentum that Monterrey has, well, Maxi especially, lasts throughout the tournament, and not just the first couple of games.
Yeah. Just really, really quick, before we mix into the Pachuca game, what's your feeling heading into the second leg? I know the second leg's in a month, but obviously I think Eric Aguirre should be back by that time. He should be. He's out 4 weeks. It all depend on training sessions leading up to that game. But barring any injuries, the full team should be ready, good to go, lock and loaded. What are your just a month out? What are your just feelings heading into the second leg at the Azteca?
I think that Monterrey is gonna play pretty much the same. So it's not much of what Cruz Azul can do. I'm not worried about that, because Cruz Azul is going to score, definitely. They're at home, so they have to be a little bit different. But the thing is that if Monterrey gets one goal in...
Yeah, I was about to say, if they get the away goal, if they get that away, if just to score one, you obviously got to make Cruz Azul score two. So it's, keeping them at zero at home was really big. But go ahead, keep making your point.
Yeah. The thing is that it's not two. They have to score three. Because with two, you only go to...
Oh, yeah. You got it right. Yeah.
So just a quick stat. In Aguirre's tenure, Monterrey hasn't received three goals ever. So it's just math, right? So if you score once, which I really think we can do, because we have the players, and obviously it's gonna be different, because it's gonna be a little bit more late on the tournament, on La Liga. So if the injuries do not take part into the actual setting up the game, I think we should definitely, and I'm going to go out on limb here, I think we are able to win that. Not just go there and just hope for the best. Now, I really believe that we can have at least one goal of advantage and get back to Monterrey with the W.
Yeah.
Because what we saw on the first leg, and obviously I'm not going to get tired of saying this. Whenever we discuss CCL, I always say this. We have to take into consideration that Monterrey was born for that tournament. So the accolades and we can go into it, but I'm just going to say that there's tournaments like the Champions League for Madrid, it's the same thing for Monterrey here. And not because we have 10 or 20, but because the last 10 years, we have the dominant team, and we're gonna definitely keep on doing that. I'm not saying that we're gonna win it, but at least I'm saying that that also plays into the situation in favor of Monterrey, at least against Cruz Azul. And the last part would be that even though we would be playing away, again, the way that Aguirre plays is going to be better if you have a team that is going to attack you at all times, because we have players that are built for that now. We have Adubán Vergara, which is kind of like a young version of Pavón, but so much faster. And you have a Maxi Mesa that can create out of thin air. So I am really confident that you know, we're definitely going to have the W, not only, I'm sorry, this is the other way around. Not only we're going to advance, but we're also going to get the W away.
And that if Monterrey advances, they at the moment right now they'll likely meet America for another final, barring, you know, if America chokes and on away, they're up 2-0. So you know, right at the moment, you know, it would be America and Monterrey again in another final, which I'm pretty sure everybody would want. But let's transition over, because I'm trying to squeeze as much in here before we talk about Funes Mori. We're talking a lot about the wingers and the depth at winger. It's finally starting to like show how great it is, because even though Maxi Mesa didn't get the start against Pachuca, to have like a rotation of wingers that, you know, if one of them doesn't get the start at the 70th or 60th minute mark, they can come in with fresh legs and actually create something. Because in the past, Monterrey hasn't, like, I don't know how far back do we have to go until, you know, we see that, oh, Monterrey has a bench now, or Monterrey has at least a rotation of players where if one of them doesn't start, you know, they'll be able to come in once the defense is tired, whether it's 60, 70th minute mark, and help create and help try to secure that win. And that's what kind of happened with Maxi Mesa and Celso Ortiz. They didn't get the start, but, you know, I think, what is it, 60? It was around the 70th minute mark. They came in, and they made the difference. How just describe how happy you are, because we finally have like depth at winger, because we can finally have someone come in and actually affect the score. Like, you know, having someone come off the bench, whether it's like having a rotation, you know, whether it's Campbell and Vergara starting, or Campbell and Mesa starting, or Mesa and Vergara starting, and Campbell comes off the bench and vice versa and all that. You know, just quickly describe just having that, because I feel like that's finally, you know, that is like, hallelujah, we have something. We can have someone come off the bench and actually, you know, what? Because in the past, Monterrey, once they hit that 70th minute mark, it's like, okay, barring anything, you know, miraculously, if the defense, you know, the opposing defense does some mistakes, Monterrey will take advantage, but like, they're not going to be able to generate a lot of offense, you know, in the last 20 to 30 minutes. But now, you know, with the rotation, they can finally do that.
Yeah, well, you phrased the question really good, like how happy you are. I was pretty much really happy, because not only the fact that you already explained it really good, which is having that substitution offensively where you have a guy like Duban, and it wasn't his night for against Pachuca, but have Maxi go in, it's just like nuts, right? Because the level that we're talking about is really top level. And not only that, you have Granovitter out and you get Celso Ortiz in. Another substitution is, I don't see any other team doing that type of substitutions in the entire Liga MX. And obviously, it hasn't been a good few months for Jansen. But again, having Funes Mori out and having Jansen in, it's so much different to have that type of substitution than having like Avilés going in instead of instead of Maxi, or having Platanito Alvarado. No disrespect to them, yeah, but
it's a different level. A different level. Like, one of them is pretty much wasted. The other one is still pretty young. And even Pabon was at the end of the line. Like, it, you know, he could give you maybe like 5-10 minutes where it's like, okay, he's affecting. But after that, it's like he'll dip off, and it's just like, you know, it wasn't, you know, the Pabon of younger days. It was just an old Pabon that wasn't going to give you much.
And we have discussed this on the pod that what happens if we have a Maxi Mesa going in the last 20 minutes? Well, we saw what happened with a left back tire. This guy is just gonna go crazy on him, just crazy on him. And it was that, because after Maxi got in, not only we scored twice, but we have at least another two chances that maybe they might not be that clear, but I remember that they were chances. So it's just different. That's why the level of how can I say this? The word in Spanish is exigencia. What would be English? That's why the people demand so much from this team, because you have that team, right? So it's just different. It's a great feeling. And if you wanna, let's get a little bit into it. The first half, it was the 1-0 from Funes Mori to pass to Suazo. Then Maxi, which you tweeted out, and I was like, I thought about it, but didn't like tweet it because I was already drunk. But you tweeted out that nobody paid attention to the pass, Medina's pass, and that was a great pass. It was because the difficulty of it is that he was against the line. The end of the pitch, and he managed to have this long ball pass to Maxi, and well, Ustari went crazy, but that's not Maxi's fault.
Yeah,
and ended up being a great goal, and then the cherry on the top was the second of the night for
one of them. And you know what? Somebody else pointed out that it slipped my mind that it was Celso Ortiz, but Celso Ortiz recovered the ball. Like, it was on the line. I think it was like about to go out, but he was able to recover it. So it's like, and it goes back to what we were talking about, having those type of players come in. And even though, like, some people are saying, well, why aren't they starting? You know, even though we have another game against Cruz Azul in the middle of the week, you know, having those type of players come in and affect the game, like, in a positive way, like being able to, you know, even recover the ball, putting it on Stefan being able to launch it to Maxi Mesa, and I don't know what the hell the Pachuca goalkeeper was doing, but, you know, stuff like that, having those type of players that can affect the game in a positive way, and being able to just take advantage of a tired defense, and against teams that don't have the depth that Monterrey has. Like you said, nobody in the Liga can have, whether it's a Campbell coming off the bench, or Vergara coming off the bench, or a Maxi Mesa coming off the bench, or a Celso Ortiz, or Granito, or Jansen, or Rogelio Funes Mori, or, you know, whoever. It's just that type of riches that you should be able to take advantage towards the end of the game, and it's finally happening, because in the past, it just didn't happen. And now we can finally flex, like, you know, this is our really, like, spending the money is finally, you know, reaping the benefits. But, Two things I want to touch on. No, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say just that, and we still have two guys yet to come into the team.
Yes. we're about to get richer.
So Aguirre, a lot of people is not paying attention what Aguirre is going to bring to the table. And Moreno, obviously, we already know what he's capable of, but Aguirre is one of those players that I think that if he shows at least a year or so of his level, he's gonna be one of those guys that people are gonna love, and he could be here for a long time. I hope that he if he comes out of the team is to go to Europe, but he could be that guy because he just plays really good anywhere you place him. So
I'm really excited for just to see all these other players that are supposed to get into the squad in a couple of weeks, just having them recover from injuries. But two last things before we get to Funes Mori, and it's just quick. You don't have to go too into that. But Jansen, obviously that foul was so awful. He kind of blew his opportunity. Like, he had the chance to take the striker position from Rodrigo Funes Mori, and you had the PK miss against Mazatlan, other missed chances, and then you had this red card. And I heard you in the space too. You said, it appears that he's probably done. I know you had a couple of days to cool off on that take, but your quick react, just sum it up as best as you can in a couple of seconds. But what do you think the future holds for him, or what do you think is going to happen with him going forward? Because, yes, he gives you a lot of effort, but if the effort is dumb mistakes, dumb fouls, I mean, you're doing more harm than good with your effort. But what do you make of it?
Yeah. The thing is that, is effort worth the hassle? I mean, you could have effort from anybody. We didn't, not we as like me, but the team didn't bring Jansen to have a guy that really has effort on the pitch. No. We have discussed this as well. He was supposedly going to be a solution to a problem. And now he not only became part of the problem, but now he's the problem. So it's different. I saw what Aguirre said. I think it was Monday, which he pointed out that Jansen hasn't been 100%, and he's just basically doing it for the team and this and that. Well, that's not an excuse, because that is just an egregious way to have him off the heat of the moment from the fans, from the press, and take him, like switch the responsibility to him, which is commendable. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because Now it's not that, it's just Jansen this and that. It's just, he's doing an effort to play when he's not 100%. Well, then don't put him in. Like, this is not a team where you have the necessity of having a guy on a 50% level. I really, really do prefer to have, Lahoud, Alvarado, or a cone, whatever, instead of a guy that is not fully prepared and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because it's not like that. But, I really believe that he did time off from Monterrey that particular moment. I don't see how he can recover unless he just remembers Jansen from 2019, and he just keep on goes back to scoring or at least showing the level that he showed, because we're not stupid. We're not gonna ask Jansen to be fast opening Mori. No, we only ask Jansen to be Jansen. We all have seen what he is capable of, so we're gonna hold you to that level.
How many matches would you give him until you finally decide, okay, you know what, it's gonna be in the best interest of both parties to say, okay, we're gonna have to just sell him? Because obviously having an international player, or a foreign player occupy one of those spots and not really giving you much, isn't smart. Like, you know, all these foreign spots are going to have to be filled with players that are contributing. And if he's not contributing, then it's obviously going to be a talking point, because they've done that in the past where they have just rotating foreign players, and some of them are sitting in the press box, and it's just like, okay, you can't have that anymore. You need to have anybody occupying a foreign spot needs to contribute, needs to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. But how many more games would you give them until you say, okay, you know what? I think it's not going to work out.
I think that depends on Johnson, because I could say 2 games and maybe he gets in and score 4 goals, because that's Jensen. I'm not saying that he has done it before, but he could just have this switch on and then go back to what he has done. But I do believe that Aguirre is going to keep on having Jensen going in but at least the last 10, 15 minutes. But not because of Jensen per se, but because Aguirre has to take care of Funes Mori, because he now realizes that no Funes Mori, no party, right? So it's not going to be because, oh, well, let me give this kid another chance and another chance. It's going to be more of the sense of, let me take care of my top striker and just have him rest a little bit, at least. Because from now on, you don't have any games that you can say, well, maybe against this team I could have Jensen in. No, because on the CCL, you're going to have the second leg of the semifinals and then possibly the final. So not going to happen there. And now on La Liga, you're going to be on the middle of, well, coming into the middle of the tournament. So it's going to get.
And you can't be dropping points anymore. Like, they dropped points. They dropped points against Puebla. They dropped points against Mazatlan. And it's just like, okay, you can't be. I know Mazatlan's having a good season, but still, like, you shouldn't be dropping points against, you know, no disrespect, but you shouldn't be dropping points against those teams, especially when, it is what it is, but they shouldn't be dropping those type of points. But yeah, they especially when they're heading into the middle part or towards the end of the season, you want, like you said, we've seen what happens when you go into a one game playoff, what can happen and you know, the embarrassment of it. You know, we're trying to finish top four and you just, you know, you can't ill afford to be dropping points. But final conversation before we get into the Funes Mori discussions, but as you mentioned, Stefan Medina, captain. Ponchito Gonzalez was the captain against Puebla. That one was a surprise. But since then, I mean, there was no announcement of this. It's just like Stefan Medina just wore the captain's armband. But as you said earlier, he's the right man for the job. I would have been happy with either him or Cesar Ortiz. But when you give Stefan Medina a 4-year contract, you're like, okay, he's going to be here for a long time. That's the guy that's going to lead us. And he's been here for 7 years. What did you make of him becoming captain, and how have you seen him as the captain? Because that's an important it's an important role, and he's been playing great. Like, he's back to what we saw in Stefan Medina. Like, you know, this is the Stefan Medina that everybody's been wanting to see, and you know, now that he's signed his extension, he's here for the long time. And now he's the captain. He's playing like not just one of the better right backs in Mexico, but, you know, not just on the continent, but like in Latin America, South America. I think he's one of the best. But quickly, you know, if you can describe just, you know, what have you seen from him as the captain?
I think that, well, first of all, obviously he deserves it. Second of all, I see him much more relaxed now that he signed the extension. And I think that he earned to be the captain on the last tournament, not on this one, but remember the way he kind of got into a scuffle a couple of times, showing heart, which we haven't seen from Medina in the world ever. Like, we saw the quality of as a football player, right? We know he's good. We know he's great, actually. But I don't remember seeing much of Medina like talking back and having this back and forth with the strikers from the other team, yeah, or even yelling at the our own defenders. And now I do see that I have seen that side of him, and it just speaks, right? So as you said, it could have been Celso, but Celso hasn't shown me what Medina showed me, which is that he has blood in his veins. It's not just like this rich kid train. I don't know if I'm training myself, but I think that you need to have heart to be the leader of a team. Even, I don't know if you caught this, but he is the one doing the talking on the pre-match reunion that they do. He's doing all the talking. He's getting all the players fired up, and that's what a captain does. Mm-hmm. And I was checking that, and also I was checking that the first one, whenever there's a bad call from the referee, it's him. Whatever the play might develop, he's already there, like, oh no, you're doing everything, this and that. And that's what a captain should do, be there. And I think that he has the respect from everybody, first of all, obviously, and also from the theater. But I really believe that he earned that last season, because nobody, and I mean nobody, had seen that side of Medina.
And there's he did an interview over the weekend with I think it's La Peña Futbolística, so if anybody wants to like check that out, you can go on their Twitter page. It's separated into like parts, but you can watch the entire, you know, his interview there. And it was like a funny, you know, where you know they do a flashback to like when he first came to Monterrey in 2014 with the, you know, his greñas, and yeah. When I laughed at that Javier Aguirre just telling him that he needed a guitar with that look, that was like, you know, I replayed that a lot of times, and I just kept laughing at that. But yeah, if anybody's interesting,
quick note before we head into the Funes Mori conversation, is the game against Pachuca went for, let's say, 250 minutes. Nobody could steal the ball from Joel Campbell. You could have that guy playing 3 days in a row against Pachuca, nobody was going to take the ball away from him. What an amazing, amazing game from him in that particular regard. Just go back to the highlights of the game, and if it wasn't with a foul, nobody could see him. It was really entertaining to see this.
Yeah, like we said, it's good to have three quality wingers so that we can shuffle in and out, and they'll give us a little. And then what I like is that they'll give you something different. Like, right, like again, I'm just gonna go really quick. Campbell can do that. Like, he can play a really good possessive game, and contribute like that. Maxi can give you a little bit of everything, and Vergara is like one of those like real highlight type of players where, mm-hmm, you know, he wants to just dribble and take on one-on-one duels. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's why I think valid criticisms for me is just he loses a lot of duels. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes, you know, he's not afraid to go one-on-one. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I'm just hoping that he can win a little bit more of those. But I, like I said, I'm happy with having all these three quality wingers, because it just gives us a lot of depth. Let's move on to the man of the hour that everybody's going to be talking about for at least, you know, another week or so. Just, you know, like I said earlier, the club's doing a lot of things for him. Like I said, he had a media day today too. On we're recording this on a Monday night. But Rogelio Funes Mori scores the PK that gives him the record over Humberto Suazo. And then when he scored that second goal, you automatically came to my mind, because you've been saying, as soon as he just gets that off his shoulders, the goals are going to start coming. And like instantly, like in the same game, that came. And they even mentioned that on the broadcast too. Like, As soon as he finally had that weight off his shoulders, it's like, okay, he can score goals. And I always feel like that second goal, if that was pre-record, him clinching that or, breaking that record, I think that shot would have gone wide. Yeah, like, now, obviously, the guy ties it. I don't want to pose a question right now, but what was your first reaction when he finally scored that goal? Even include that second goal too. But what was your first initial thoughts? And people you were talking to, people who follow this club and everything. But what was just the vibe like around people that you know and you confide in when it came to him just breaking the record?
First, it was a relief. I think we all had that weight out of our shoulders, because it was a long time, I think 4 months or so, since he scored. And obviously really truly happy. I compare the scream that I did for that goal with the one for Guille Franco and Tigres, the same final back in 2005, and Suazo's third goal against Santos on the final 2010. Maybe we can squeeze Funes Mori's goal against America too, on the final 2019. So even though it was a game that is just part of the tournament, the big deal was that, and all the people that I had conversations with, in the same way, that incredibly happy for the guy, and obviously it's gonna be difficult to describe right now. I think that this is one of those moments that we're gonna be able to go back in a few years and be more precise of the entire thing, because as anything in history happens, when it's that big, you don't realize it until we kind of let it sink in. So I think we are on that. But again, the second goal goes to show you that he just. When he kicked the ball, I think it was going to be out, because he really didn't get it right. The ball even kind of did this weird thing on the second goal. But that's Funes Mori when he has his confidence. Like, I really believe he didn't want to do that, but it ended up being like that. I remember a goal against Atlas and to qualify for the 2019 Liguilla. He did the same thing, but with his left foot. Like, the body language shows you that he wants to hit the ball at a certain way, and then you see the ball, and the ball goes completely out of the logical path. So it is what it is. Now, I think that with that off his shoulders, he's going to go back to being that Funes Mori. Like, he's gonna keep missing a lot, yeah, of course, but he's not going to miss everything like he was doing. I think that we're going to see that Funes Mori even a little bit better, because the confidence boost that he's going to have is going to help him a lot. I sincerely think that he could be the scoring champion this tournament. And I give it a year and a half to surpass Gignac. Because now everything is different. Now he knows he's going to be that guy from now on. So He has to understand that now all of the eyes that were on him are not going to be there anymore. It's just going to be us. So gonna be different.
Yeah, no, I think it, like we said, it's a weight off his shoulders. Now he can just go back to concentrating and scoring goals. But for you personally, where does he rank? You've watched Monterrey a long time. Where do you put him on? You know, for players that have suited up for this club, where does he sit with you? Like, I don't want to get into the discussion that, oh, is he better than Suarez? Like, I've seen a lot of people say that. And, like, to me, that's a point. Like, why can't we just enjoy both of them? Like, you don't need to compare both. Like, yeah. I live in L.A. The Lakers are the biggest team here. And it's like nobody says, well, I like Kobe, but, you know, he's not Magic Johnson. Or I like Shaq and he's not Kareem. Like I seen people and just like enjoy the great players that have suited up for the team you root for. Like there's no need to compare because, you know, thankfully like the Suazo years leaded into the Funes Mori years. And then although there's been a lot of heartbreak, who knows, maybe there's potentially a lot to come. I mean, he scored his 100th goal against Liverpool. It's just like, you know, like going back to the question, but you know, where does he rank for you in type of the players that have suited up for this club?
As a striker?
No, just definitely. Overall. Just overall, like players that you've seen, whether it's defenders, midfielders, goalkeepers. Okay. Where does he rank for you? Because obviously, the by position, he'll obviously be top two, top three, or whatever. But we're overall, like, just players that have suited up for this club since you've been watching. We don't have to go back past, but like since you've recognized, since you can remember, where does he rank for you? Because obviously, there's fans who are older who know way back, but then you know there's people who grew up, you know, in the 90s, 2000s. So obviously, everybody has a recollection. You know, they remember different players. But for you, just personally, where does he rank for you?
I think that if we do a starting 11 from at least from the time that I started to watch Reals, it's definitely gonna be in it. There's no way to speak about Funes Mori and not relate him with a lot of goals. I think that as a player overall, he developed a lot here. He find his true call here in Monterrey, because when he got here, he wasn't all of that, and now he is all of that. He has become the best striker in the league. At least he has been that guy for 2 years. Striker, only striker. When it comes to that, I think that he's the best in Monterrey history. I'm gonna get a lot of slack for that, but I really think that we ought to be thankful, because at least for my generation, I witnessed Guille Franco's tenure, then Suazo's 10 years, and now Funes Mori's 10 years. So have that luck is just amazing. And I get to a point that there's no need to compare one with the other or the other guy. I think that we as fans have this weird need of doing that. You can see it every day on Twitter, Jansen or Funes Mori, this or that. Every time we have to be comparing somebody to somebody. And I had a real discussion on Sunday with a WhatsApp group, because I was telling that a guy was, but Jansen, he just this, but Funes Mori, but this and that. I mean, guys, you're disgusting. Like, you're really insulting each other because of players of the same fucking team. Doesn't make sense at all. I mean, I get that you can get heated if Suazo is compared with Viña. I get that. But I don't get how can people get mad over players. First of all, one's right now doing what he's doing. And second of all, to both from the same team. I mean, if Funes Mori is okay, he gets into this, I don't know, this scoring streak, hopefully, that only benefits Rayados, right? That's the same thing that happened when Suazo got into his streak. Benefits Rayados. So I don't get that type of conversations. I do get when you want to do it for a cloud or whatever, all right? But when you're a hardcore fan, I just think it's just stupid, right? But going back to Funes Mori, I think that if, and this is a big if he somehow can participate and be important, especially that, in another couple of finals, let's say CCL and Liga or whatever you want to put, the order, he's going to become that guy. Not Suazo maybe, but he's definitely going to be in that. Let me put it this way. As Monterrey fans, at least the hardcore fans that I know, we all know there's only two idols in the club. One is Humberto Suazo, of course, and the second being José Jesús Arellano José. So those two guys are like the top. There's no Jonathan Orozco, there's no Guille Franco, there's no Walter. No. You can have a lot of people idolizing those guys, but everybody can agree that those two are...
Yeah, there's no debate with those two. There's no debate. There's no debating. Exactly. Like, everybody universally will agree, okay, yeah. The rest, exactly. It's just like, the rest would probably, like you said, everybody has something different, but those two will always be there. Like, there's no debate with those two. Like, if you put a top five together, those two will always be there. And then the rest will have, like, you. If I were to have a top five, it would probably be, you know, it would include those two. And then, you know, maybe I feel like someone else to be in that time. You might feel different. And it just goes on and on with other people, too. So, yeah, those two are, like, those are the two top.
Those those two guys are, like, the guys, right? So I think that if one is more, especially, and I'm being as specific as I can. Let's say that he scores another couple of goals or at least a goal in another final or a couple of finals. He's definitely going to be there. He's definitely going to be, because right now he's not because of that. And even though Monterrey has won the champions, for the champions, the CONCACAF Champions League, we all know he didn't do anything pretty much. So if Funes Mori gets, which I really think he's gonna be in that mindset, because he already knows he can do it, like be that America's 2019 final Funes Mori, he's definitely gonna be there. And well deserved, because the guy, well, he's just history. He's now history for our club. And you can say, well, it might be easy. Well, the guy's only 30. Right?
Yeah.
He's not even like on the decline of his career.
He has another 2-3 years. And then after that, it's just depending how he takes care of body. And he doesn't seem like the type of player that like parties or relies like on speed. Yeah. Like it's just finesse, like, and I think his game will age better. And his body, like, he's not like big. He's not a big guy. Like, he's not like, his knees are gonna take. Like, look at Gignac. Like, he's starting to fall apart now. Like, he's 35 years old, and he's starting to pick up like injuries and training. It's like, okay, you can tell, like, you know, the body's starting to fall apart. Like, so me, Funes Mori, he can give you at least 2 or 3 more years at the top level. And then after that, it's just how well he takes care of himself. But another aspect before we go, I also wanted to touch on, I brought this up a little bit earlier, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit when you talked about him when he arrived. But what was like the, and I always want to ask this, what was like the reaction of his arrival? Like what it meant, like if you can remember, you know, when Monterrey was looking for a striker, what, if you can recall, what were some of the names in that transfer window before it became known that, okay, it's going to be Rogelio Funes Mori? And what was, like, the reaction of the city, of the fan base there when you know, the move became official? I don't know if you can remember the names that people maybe were throwing out, but what was, like I said, what was the reaction when you know, it became that he was going to be the striker going forward?
I don't remember the names, like the specific names. I remember there was one guy, two guys. One was with Veracruz, Polaco Legion. I don't remember his name. And the other one was Port. Oh, I remember another one, the guy who was in León, Boselli. Those were the options. And then Funes Mori came along. I remember, at least for me, I remember that my first question was, who the fuck is Funes Mori? I mean, to be completely honest, right? Like, because I know Funes Mori from River Plate. I know he.
Did you know he had a Twitter? Yeah. I was about to say. Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of people. Wait a minute. The defender, like, oh shit, he has a twin.
Exactly. Right? No, he was, because I remember when he got here, a lot of people were showing the Funes Mori Le Ro song, which was really popular amongst River Plate fans, because he was like 18 years old when he was there. And it was when River Plate got to the
second division. Yeah, they were relegated. Yeah, it was a dark time for them.
Yeah, and he was playing with David Trezeguet, if I'm not mistaken. But then to have him here, and I remember this skinny kid, like big headed. He got a big head. He was really skinny. And I saw I think it was yesterday or today, I saw his first words were, like, anybody's going to say that, right? But now they aged really well. Because he said, I'm here to make history for this club. I'm here to score goals and make history. Which ended up happening. And but I remember that it wasn't like a big wave around him, like, oh, we saved Funes Mori here. No, it wasn't like that. I think that I remember that a lot of us was like, all right, so who's gonna be the striker now? Funes Mori here, right? Okay, but who's gonna be like the starting striker, right? And then everything came into place, and Mohamed, especially, we have to give credit to Mohamed when it comes to Funes Mori, because he said to himself in an interview in Argentina that he said he knew Funes Mori was made for Real. Like, he said it like that. Like, because they asked him pretty much what you asked me, like, why Funes Mori? He was like, well, I saw him during his tenure in River Plate, but he was too young. And I got him to Real at the perfect age. And he just needed to be adjusted in a few things, and he was going to be the player that he is today. And he is an all-around player now. Mm-hmm. He is able to even to defend. He's able to recover the ball. He knows. I love when he does this. Like, he seems like he's not even watching the guy on the other side of the pitch, but every time he has the ball, he only like do a quick he controls it really quick, and then boom, he gets this long pass to the other side of the pitch, and that's every single time, and nobody has got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not only the scoring guy, he knows how to create spaces, chances for the other guys. We saw him doing that throughout the entire 2016-2017 run. He was creating a lot of chances for everybody. But yeah, he didn't came as a
bomba.
Like a bomb. Yeah, exactly, like a bomba. No, he wasn't that. To my recall, I don't remember that. I was gonna.
No, go ahead.
One thing really quick. I got a note in Telemundo because of a tweet that I did on Saturday morning, which was true. I dreamt that the guy was gonna score twice in Pachuca, and that ended up happening, and then the tweet went crazy viral at the extent that a guy like texted me today. He said, I'm such and such from Telemundo, and I did a piece on you. And I was like, on me? Yeah, about your tweet about when it's more scoring. And I was like, what? Because that hasn't happened. Like, I have been on sports news, but because of Madrigal's situation a few years back. So it was weird, but I saw it, and it's weird how you just know something is going to happen and then ends up happening.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw it in.
And just last question before we go. At what point, when Rogelio Funes Mori was, you know, in his early stages of his career with Monterrey, maybe you can point out a specific goal or a moment where you said, oh, okay, this guy can be something, like, he can be really good. Like, what was the goal or what was the moment for you? And just people talking to people around you where they said, okay, mm-hmm. this guy can be really good. Like, he's not just a random name that they brought here. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy can be really good.
I think that for me, at least for me, it was against Jaguares. It was, I think, 2016, if I'm not mistaken. Against Jaguares away, he scored twice, I think, in that game. But one of those goals was because of Pat's idol, Montes Longballs. it was that play. Like, they ended up repeating that against Tigres the same year, the same season, even in the Universitario. Like this long cross, but he like controlled the ball and then sent it over the top of the goalkeeper's head. And that, for me, that moment right there was like, whoa, this guy is not. He's not that guy that only with his head or only if he has the opportunity really close to the net. Then he became that guy, like, creating chances and what I already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But in that particular moment, that particular season especially, he became Funes Mori. He ended up closing that season against Tigres with the famous Si Se Da La Vuelta Mata quarterfinals, first leg, the third goal. I think that was when we all say, you know what, we have to start considering this guy as one of those, look out for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only a year after he got here. I think that what helped him a lot was that he started to build his body a little bit. Because, again, he was this crony little kid. And then he, you see him now, he's...
Yeah, I have the picture of him where, like, he's holding up with Luis Miguel Salvador. where it's like he looks like he looks like he has an e like look like a bony kid. There was like, okay, you gotta hit the weights. And now, like, when you see him sometimes, like when he's celebrating, especially when he wears like the tight, like the really tight, you know, jerseys, it's like, okay, yeah, that's not the same kid, that's not the same player when he arrived.
But again, even his demeanor is different. Like when he got here, especially that interview, that press conference, I do remember that he was a lot nervous. He was like saying the things that we all know what a player is gonna say.
Yeah.
But the body language was really nervous. Like he was more nervous than excited, right? And now you see him, and it's a big difference. I know, obviously, that the goal's gonna happen, but the growth that he has had is just amazing. It's just amazing. I think he definitely deserves it. As you said, it he's not one of those players that's known to be good and on the pitch and to have this crazy life outside of it.
Yeah.
He's a family guy. He ended up having a really bad situation, which I think really, really affects him more than what we all think. Back on, I think it was last tournament. Then to recover from that and now be, again, we're not realizing what's happening right now because it is right now.
Yeah.
Give it 2 years, 3 years maybe after he's gone, and we're gonna say, fuck.
Who's replacing?
that's exactly what happened. This is what I love about being a Rayados fan. When Guillermo Franco went away, just wanted more money.
You always have to throw that in, even in a tweet. You always, not to talk about that, but I always like how you always just, even in a tweet or when you just say Guille Franco because you wanted more money. But go ahead.
This is good. You have to, well, he was that guy, bro. Like, he was the idol. He was, once upon a time, he was there with Arellano back in 2003, 2004, 2005 even. But then he ended all of it. So when he went away, we were like, fuck, what are we going to do now? Because he was that guy. Then Suazo came along and my God,
We replaced them and you got someone better. Like, it was an upgrade.
Exactly. So now, when Suazo goes away, it was 2014. Yeah, it was before when he got here. We definitely were like, fuck, now what are we going to do? And then you see this funny little kid, like, with a cast that he was heavier than the weight that he had at the moment for the Suazo's mark. So we were like, damn, who's gonna be that guy? And he ends up being that guy. So now, when in a couple of years from now, hopefully 4 or 5 years, when he's the top scorer of the entire history of the Regiomontano football, not just Monterrey, but he's definitely gonna surpass Vigna. Now, well, there's gonna be the moment where, but what are we gonna do now? At the moment, we're not realizing. And I just hope that he can get that status of idol, which he deserves. For me, he's not, but he deserves it.
Oh yeah, you're right. I think he needs to add a little bit more to the trophy case. He has the opportunity. Like, you know, the team he's with, whether some players go in the next 2 or 3 years, you can tell that the fan base will want a team that can compete every tournament and be competing in, whether it's a CCL or the league. He's gonna have players that are gonna help him, hopefully, and he can have those moments like we talked about. He had the moments against America, scoring the two goals in there after criticism of not appearing in big moments, and now he's gonna have it again if they can get by Cruz Azul, you know. And it's gonna be a one game, you know, the final in the CCL is one game, like it's mm-hmm. You know, whether it's at the Azteca if America advances, or at the BBVA, or somehow Philadelphia comes back, you know, it's gonna be a one game playoff for the final. Oh. So it's like, okay, that's, and I think that's gonna be a little bit more impressive considering there's like no return or you know, no home and away leg. Like it's one game, and I exactly. think that adds a little bit more pressure.
Imagine this: Funes Mori already was pretty much the reason why we were champions in 2019, just because of the two goals in the final and then scoring the penalty kick. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if he's capable of doing that now in the CCL, he's gonna. I mean, I might get a little bit of hate for what I'm gonna say, but Suazo didn't do that. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Suazo is the top of the top of the top in Arellano, right? No, out of those two guys, neither of those won even one championship to America. Imagine two.
God, and he already has the you know the media from La Ciudad de Mexico already hating him, like, you know, was it Football Picante last, and I don't know who tweeted that, like they only gave Funes Mori like one minute yeah. of acknowledgement yeah. and they're on their show,
and it's gonna be like that. I mean, there's a guy from UNA who follows me, Gabriel Sainz. I send a shout out to him. He's one of the cool guys from UN. He's from Mexico City. And we have discussed this on his spaces and whenever he goes into my spaces. He knows that the majority of the press are not gonna acknowledge, because then they would have to switch from being the center of the football and switch it to the north of the country, which mm-hmm. is us. And that's understandable. I mean, all right. But they all think that the last 20 years, this football that we live in has been the commanding football in the entire country. I mean, you're not going to hear them say it, but they think about it. They know that the best teams are here. I'm speaking on both of the teams. Obviously, the athletes are there. But it for me, speaks even more that they don't want to give us credit than they actually doing it. Because let's call spade a spade. If they talk about Funes Mori, like just because they have to, they're not gonna gauge anybody. They're just gonna be saying shit to say it. And for us, it's even better that they don't mention us, because now we know that they are hurt, right? Because there's no talk about any accolades from any of those teams, even though Cruz Azul was champion after 20-something years, I would expect a lot more because of that. And it was like, all right, so Cruz Azul is champion, let's go to the next thing. So it just goes to show you that's why we love living in our bubble. Because here, we are the shit. We are that. And over there, well, we don't care. So
yeah. Last thing, this is the really last thing before I let you go. It wouldn't be right if I didn't ask you which for you, take out the America one, the Chilena, because obviously that one would probably be the best of his goals. But like for you personally, outside of that goal, what's been your most favorite Funes Mori goal of the 123 now?
Taking into account what just the goal itself. Or what it meant.
No, just any goal, like of all, like number one doesn't have to be importance just because that was a really good goal. Like you can just have that. But what was your favorite? What's been your favorite goal? You don't have to add any context, but like what's been your favorite one of all? You know, the 123 one.
I think that the one that I enjoy the most, taking out the importance of it, it was one against America. When he dribbled, I think it was Paulo Aguilar, and I don't remember the other guy's name. It was because we have 10 on the field. America had 11. We were 1-1. It was Diego Alonso on the bench. And then Edson Gutierrez, the only thing he has done right in his entire fucking life, it was to have this cross to Funes Mori, and Funes Mori control it with his thigh. And then dribble two guys from America and then score against Marchesin.
Yeah, it was Marchesin.
He didn't even like move. He was like, fuck.
Yeah, he was caught out of his. And I think it was raining too. That even made it more impressive. It was raining.
It was because of the entire feel of that particular play. That's, if not the best, at least for me, one of the best. And obviously, if you can look this up, it would do for a great meme. Especially also because Stephen Medina goes running to celebrate, and Funes Mori like he does this he goes to his knees and like because it was raining, he went a little bit too far. But Medina comes running and he's not able to stop, so he keeps on fucking going. It looks just so funny. just go back and look for that goal, bro, and you're gonna see Medina like passing behind Funes Mori, like going to the
gotta see that replay. I gotta go back and see that replay.
It's really funny. Yeah, it's funny how you remember those type of things, but yeah, I remember that. But that one, obviously, if we're talking about the importance of it, obviously the America's Chilena. When it comes to Chilena, like how he did it, I prefer the goal against Santos because it's much more difficult because the cross was a little bit harder and he had to like maneuver to do that against Santos here. Or I think it was a quarter final, something like that. America, obviously. And if we take into consideration the difficulty of it, it was definitely the goal that he did against Tigres, the one that I said before.
Yeah, the one where Cesar Montes goes from, like, I think he's from the middle of the field, and you know, he just launches a long pass and then just right on the money. You know, perfect pass, perfect shot, and it beats beats the goalkeeper.
The difficult part of it, not only to is it because it is a long pass, long ball, as Pat said.
So yeah,
it's just because he ended up using his left foot.
Yeah.
And striking really good. I think that Nahuel was expecting him to control the ball. That's why Nahuel is so out of his line, the goal line, but he ended up like knocking the ball with the left foot, and that's less appreciated because we ended up losing 3-1. Efraín Juárez got a red card, and well, it was just a disaster. But the goal itself, as when it comes to difficulty, I of course is that, and the most special one, like special. No matter the importance of it, definitely against Liverpool.
Yeah. Those ones, like, to even it was even the 100th one, so that even made it extra special, just because, they put on a good match. Like, they didn't back down, and they lost in extra time, or not extra time, but like in stoppage time, to Liverpool, and hopefully they can, you know, win the CCL, and we can have those type of moments again, because those are really special, and I feel like that.
Who's the Champions League champion?
It's gonna be Chelsea. So it's gonna be a rematch if they get there. I don't know if it's a draw or whatever, but I've seen some people say it's probably gonna be like how it was last year where the CONCACAF winner takes on I don't know who, and then they advance to play the winner of the Libertadores, and then they face the one in the final. I don't know if it's gonna be a draw or whatever, but they're still going. I think they're still going. So I think whoever wins this edition, I don't know who's still left at the top of my head. I know so, it's mostly Brazilian. I think it's gonna be a Brazilian team. That's pretty much the Libertadores is just Brazil. It's gonna be a Brazilian team. I think the ones that are still in there, it's gonna be. I think it's probably gonna be Flamengo. It's gonna be either them, Sao Paulo, Palmeiras, Atlético Mineiro. It's pretty much a Brazilian team. I would bet, you know, my rent, it's gonna be a Brazilian team that comes out winning that city.
So if obviously this is the biggest of if that I have said before, if we go to the World Cup, well, not World Cup, but yes,
Club World
yes,
Cup.
Yes, it would be first Libertadores and then the Champions League champion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I seen somebody that's on it, but I don't know. I can't confirm that. Like, I don't know if they're gonna have a draw or whatever. But I would like to have that set up just because. I would like, you know, to go through CONMEBOL and through you know, whoever went, or Chelsea, who's gonna be there. But yeah, that's it.
I think that if that happens, I would prefer to be the other way around. I would prefer to be first Chelsea, because call me crazy, but I think we can beat Chelsea. At least Chelsea that I saw.
Well, now they have Lukaku, so I don't know about that. Now they have Lukaku.
Yeah. No, but again, Salah is 10 times better than Lukaku. So I think that we could beat Chelsea, and it would be much easier to win the damn thing against a Libertadores type of team than going through the Libertadores type team and then go to the European, because the Europeans are built for the final four, so
yeah.
It's really fucking hard. And I'm sorry, I'm swearing too much. But it's just the moment calls for it.
The reason I want to face Libertadores winner and then the you know whoever wins the final is because first, you know, you get to throw shade at you know the South Americans who think that Mexican clubs wouldn't, you know, if all things were equal, you know, they wouldn't win a Libertadores, and you know it's always fun to throw shade at them, whether it's in Spanish or Portuguese, which mm-hmm. will more than likely be the case, and then you get the full, you know, you get usually the European team, usually they save like their best team for the final to get the trophy. So I would like to, you know, you get the full team, you get to see, you get to measure yourself against a full, you know, which would be a Chelsea team, you know, them full guns and everything. But you know, we'll see. We don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, so yeah. We'll see. We'll leave it there. Rompas, where can people find you?
All right. Well, at Rompas is back on all platforms: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm working on the YouTube shit, but yeah, at least those three, I'm there as at one respect. I haven't checked, but I was one follower away from 16K. Hopefully I'm there. And this keep on growing, and thank to all my Rompistas as usual. you already guys are doing this. I'm just tweeting stupid shit. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say it, but we're in the midst of having a show called La Previa, with another guy there on the BBA stadium. We're trying to make it work for this Saturday. Hopefully that could happen. It would be an hour before the game starts, and it would be there. We're gonna be like having people, just random people, mm-hmm. their thoughts and this and that. It's not locked yet, but
it's in the works. You're getting the ball rolling on that. That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and well, obviously, big shout out to Mr. I'm not here anymore, Patrick. We love you.
He works for Nike now. He's big time.
He's just a big kid, bro. That's just it. He knows that we love him, and everything that we say about him is just teasing him a little bit.
I can't wait till he comes back, like when we record the 100, you know, episode. You're gonna roast him for all the times that he hasn't been here.
Of course, one of the most, I think that if somebody has quotables here, it's definitely him. So I'm most definitely gonna roast him. But yeah, big shout out to Pat. Big shout out to you, Eddie. I see that you're closing in to 5K on at Rayados 90, which is also great. You don't like to show off, like it's not part of your character, but I'm gonna do it for you because just again, let's go straight to straight. There's not one English podcast talking about a team from Mexico that's even close to the following you have and interaction that you have. So it's just amazing to see how this is. We are about to hit 100, the 100 mark. So it's I think it's really early for the pod to have that much following, and this is gonna keep on growing. So big shout out to you as well, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, usually, you know, when a GIF goes viral, that's when the followers start coming in, and that's when I'm like, I think that's when people realize, oh shit, somebody's clipping stuff, and putting stuff like this on match day. I don't do it for like the following. I like to do it just because it's fun to watch a match like that. I like, because you always see people on Twitter say, oh, did anybody catch this, or is there a clip of this? Or you know, and some people miss it, you know, like people who aren't watching the game. Like I always get like messages, people saying, oh, I'm at work, or and I'm following, you know, the game by Twitter, and the GIFs, you know, they, especially when it's like aside from goals, like stuff that happens inside the game that it's not going to be published by like Fox Deportes or the Liga MX account, like stuff like that, people like, I'll get a side note and say, oh, I really appreciate it because I can follow along the game through Twitter, how people are reacting, but also have some type of visual, because you just, you know, when you're working, you just don't want to rely on tweets. You want to have some type of visuals in there. So I always like to be on top of that stuff.
I was going to say that I had, especially this tournament that we're in now, I had a lot of people texting me to ask him if you already tweet this or that, or where can I see a tweet about this. I always send me your account, because you have exactly what you mentioned. There's people who like to see things aside of the goals, and you have now you're tweeting a lot the statistics, the stats of the key players. So a lot of people want to see that too. So
yeah, that also gets a lot of love. Like a lot of people are like, it either confirms that like this player is playing. I always look at the quote too. Today it confirms that a player is playing bad, or they're like, Oh, like the prime example when Charlie Rodriguez played really bad against Santos in that second leg. People didn't know that he lost the ball that many times, and I always like that's one of that stud. I mean, it's in a negative way, but that's one of the that got a lot of attraction. But yeah, no, I always do that because I'm always on my, like, people ask me how do I do that. I go on the SofaScore website through my laptop. I don't do it on my phone or the app because it gives you the mobile version. I'm on my laptop, so I'm able to, you know, screen grab you know, the full, you know, I guess graphic or whatever. But yeah, that's how I grab it. So it's like, it's nothing that I do. It's just from the website. Oh, you know,
yeah.
It's
yeah, no, and you always have the what do you call it, Fuente. I don't know. So there, so. Don't worry about it. And the last thing, yeah, this is one of my particular, like, my favorite thing that you do. How you tease all the South Americans. My God, it's just awesome to see how you go back and forth, especially when they're talking about Stefan Medina. I just sit there and watch you, like, crushed everybody. I'm just laughing.
Oh, I try to keep it professional. I usually, like, even with the Mexicans, I'll defend our players. Like, I'll do even stupidly, even when I know this shit, while I'm tweeting is stupid. Like, I got one of the Mexican prospects accounts got mad at, like, it blocked me because I told him that playing in Mexico is way better than playing in Belgium. Like, the Belgian league is. He got really mad and he ended up blocking me. And so, like, I'll tweet out stupid, even shit that I know. Like, I'm just shit posting, like, at this point. Like, maybe one or two tweets, okay. But, like, if you keep going at me, at some point, I'm just going to tweet out stupid shit that it's going to end. You're going to end up blocking me just because, like, I already got you hooked. I saw it, you know, Santiago Furcade just tweeted out eyes. And some, you know, even professional, like, if you get a hook on someone, you know, when I know I got you, okay, then that's when the fun begins. But I don't mind, and especially now you bring it up because there's gonna be some World Cup qualifiers, and if Sebastian Vegas or Helga Funes Mori, and Stefan Medina go, you know, represent their respective countries, obviously I'm gonna, you know, I always bookmark shit, and you know, if they ended up, you know, I don't know, I just like, it's fun. Like, I try to keep it professional, but sometimes I like to have fun and make people mad.
It's just that it's Twitter, bro.
I keep it for, like, I don't like, I there's a line obviously you don't need to cross. I go right up to that line, but, like, you know, like, obviously, you know, I don't cross the line that needs to be crossed. Usually I'll make fun, you know, whether it's, you know, players who are, like, for example, when it's Rogelio Funes Mori, there's people who wanted Henry Martin, and that's when I'll just go at them, or some people from Colombia saying the guy playing in a Belgian league is better than stuff. I mean, like, that's when I'll engage and go, you know, but I don't take it too far, but it's you know, all funny.
That's the funny part of it is that I don't know if you watch those movies, but I don't know if you remember. I'm going, like, all the way left here, but Bud Spencer and Terence Hill.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's like that to YouTube because you're hitting people and you're knocking them out, but, like, on a polite way, right? There's no blood, there's no nothing. It's just like I instead of being like, shut the fuck up, you just say, like, be quiet, man, please. And they ended up being quiet. So
I don't engage like that. Like, I usually use memes, like, any, like, like, you know, I don't need to engage it. Like, I don't get into, like, foul language. For me, it's funny when I can use, like, meme reactions and stuff like that to get people aggravated, just because, like, I go back to the European or the Mexican prospects account that blocked me. I just kept tweeting, like, the Hank Hill gif, just smoking a nice cigarette and inhaling it, So it's like, exactly. I usually like to just do stuff like that just because it's funny and, you know, I don't know. But follow our account. Follow you. 99% of the time, it's professional. It's well done. I take pride in, you know, I always tell you guys when people follow or you know, like tweets. I didn't share it with you guys just because it slipped my mind. But I think it was at the game against Cruz Azul when I shared, you know, the Olympians, Cesar Montes and Charlie Rodriguez. And I didn't tag him. I never tagged him. You know, I don't think anybody else tagged him, but he just liked my tweet. You know, it's just so like I try to run it as professional as I can, but also trying to have like that fan type of passion in there too, because, you know, I just don't want it to be like a soulless account. You know, I try to have that fan passion, but also try to keep it professional, because like I tell you, I always tell you guys like, this person is following the account now, or this person likes something that we did. So I always keep you guys in the loop when it comes to that. So like, you know, I'm close to 5,000 followers. If you're going to follow me, I just hope you enjoy the shit we do, like whether it's the podcast or whether it's the GIF content or graphics, whatever, you know, whatever. I just like to produce shit so people can have something to, like, you know, discuss, you know, or watch or whatever. Like, I do this just because, like I said, I love the club and I do this like just on my free time. But yeah, Rompas, let's wrap it up here. An hour and a half. Hopefully people enjoy this. I think we'll take a week. We won't record next week just because it's a doble jornada. And you know, an hour and a half should be enough for people to digest, unless something crazy happens. Unless something, you know, we should really talk about. But Rompas, thank you for joining me. We're like, I think, two or three episodes away from hitting 100. So we're probably going to hit 100 next month, you know, if we record three episodes. So we're going to try to, you know, the 100th episode is just going to be reflection. We'll try to talk about the game, but, you know, this is some shit we just started and, you know, it just came about. But for Rompas, I'm Eddie. Thanks for listening.